Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. And it's a privilege to be here with you all this morning. So for a title this morning, it would be a question. Where is your treasure? Before we go into this, I would like to pray. Father in heaven, we come to you in the precious name of Jesus. We thank you for this opportunity that we can gather together and that we can do this with no fear of man. Thank you that for each one that has come today, and I just pray that as we look into your word, that you would open the eyes of our hearts, that we could see you and your plan and your will for our lives. Help us to love you more than anything else in all the world. Just pray that you would guide my thoughts, guide our time here, that we could learn of you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, for the children, how many of you have a treasure box? You have a treasure box? A treasure box, a box where you put all your things that they mean something to you, right? And in our house, sometimes it's, Dad, somebody got into my treasure box, or somebody got into my things. Does that ever happen? So we have a treasure box. And children, let me tell you something, that big people have treasure boxes too. Their things don't all fit in the box, but they have treasures. Okay, and every year, there are people who are killed. There are police called. There are big things happening when somebody tries to touch someone else's treasures or tries to take their treasures. Okay? When we talk about our things and what we have or what we call our things, they're actually God's things, but we might call them our things. I would like us to remember that it's very dangerous to compare our treasure boxes. Because every one of us can look at the person beside us and say, well, my box doesn't have that toy in it. Okay? Every one of us. And so it's very dangerous when Jesus is talking about our possessions. It's very, very dangerous for us to look at our neighbor and look into his box and say, well, mine doesn't have this toy. Because that will hinder us from looking into our box and saying, God, what do you want from these things? Lord, well, how do you want me to use the things that you have given to me? So I'd like us to remember that. God is a God of love. He created us in his image, and he created us with the capacity to accumulate, to love, and to treasure. I'd like us also, as we go into this, that we could know that preparation is different than hoarding. To prepare for something is preparing. I like to think of it this way: preparing for a known need. We do this in many ways. We know we need to eat, and so we prepare food. Food is prepared. Yesterday, I went to sharpen mower blades, and the blades were just shot. They were wore out. And I thought, we just need to make this work, sharpen these things up best we can. And Wilson said, hey, we got a new set of blades here. Well, I forgot that, but somewhere we had prepared, and I didn't even know it, but I had prepared for the blade to wear out. I knew the blades were going to wear out. There's only so many times you're going to sharpen the blade and it will wear out. So preparing, thinking ahead, buying blades before they're shot is not hoarding blades. It's preparing for a known need. We can food. Why? Because you're not going out in January to pick tomatoes. They're not going to be there. We prepare. We put food on the shelf. We put meat in the freezer. And I believe preparing for emergencies is also, there's a place to prepare for emergencies. We know emergencies happen. We know the car is going to break at some point. We know that old washing machine is just going to give out one day. It's not going to wash one more load. You prepare. Maybe you laid money aside to prepare to replace the washer or the refrigerator. Or there's a doctor bill, somebody got hurt. We prepare for that. I believe there's a place to prepare for when we're old. We know we're going to get old. If time goes on, we're going to get old, and maybe someone changes a job, works a different job, something they can do when they're older. It may not be up there on the roof setting trusses when you're old. So you prepare. You think about that. But in preparing, what we do see Jesus talking about is, I believe we should have temperance. I believe we should not hoard things up. We should not just stack things up where there's not a need. I believe also for when we're old, we can go way over the top. And the fact is, you can never prepare enough for the unknown future. We live in a world where we have insurances for everything, and it's trying to pad ourselves from a broken world, a fallen world. And you could try to buy all the best insurances to pad yourself from these things, and something still happens and the insurance says, we don't cover that. Okay? We live in a broken world. We live not knowing what the future holds, and so we must have a trust in God. We must have a trust in God. You can turn to Matthew chapter 6. And as we talk about this, this is not something that I have all figured out, but I see it's a clear teaching of Jesus, and I believe he wants us to follow this, to learn, to, and I need to learn, and I ask God to show me what he really means. How we should walk it out. Matthew 6, verse 19. Jesus is teaching, and he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And we know these verses. We read them often, I believe. You can notice here that Jesus did not say to stop laying up treasure, but rather that we are laying up treasure in heaven and not on the earth. We have Proverbs 6, where it says that we're to learn from the ant. It says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise. And it talks about her, the ant, how it prepares and it lays up for winter. And it says we're to learn. Ephesians 4:28 says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. So Jesus is not telling us to stop working, to only work a little bit, to just work enough to scrape by. He's not telling us that. We're to be diligent and work so we have for our needs and to give to him who has a need. But it's important that we're laying up treasure in heaven rather than laying up treasure on the earth. Because all the things of this earth are things that will decay. And I'm sure there's many ways we see that. I work in truck repair, and you can have a brand new truck and it's out there pounding the road day after day, and before long it's no longer a new truck, and it comes in and something needs to be fixed. It's not new anymore. We live in a world where things decay, where moth and rust destroy it. Jesus said clearly here that our heart will be where our treasure is. He said, you cannot serve God and money or earthly treasures. You can't serve both. And so really he was going back to the heart, to our heart, to the core of our being, to what is driving us, what is running us. And he's saying, make sure that it's turned towards heaven. In Matthew 13, verse 44, Jesus was explaining how the kingdom of heaven was. He was trying to explain to the people the kingdom of heaven. And he said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So he's saying, he gives us a picture of a man walking, I picture, on a pathway through a field. And for some reason, he discovers there's something very valuable here in this field. Maybe it's gold he found. And it says he hides it, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has to buy that field. And Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven is like this. So it's coming back to me, that's a picture of a heart that's refocusing. That was after this world, a heart that was a person who's seeking after the things of this world, and they find Jesus and the treasure that he is, the gift of salvation, and they're willing to sell everything, to give up anything to have this treasure. The heart refocused. He gave them new eyes. You know, Jesus said here in the verses we read, he said, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And I think he's saying, to me, the lamp of the body, he was talking about the heart, and then he says that the lamp of the body is the eye, and we know that through our eyes we collect so much information. We gather, you know, we can sense so many things, and also you can sense from other people by looking in their eyes. You can tell so much. It's like you can see into a person's heart. And he's saying if the eye is bad, if your heart, if that inner part of you is bad, if it's darkness, he says it's going to be a great darkness. And he wants to give us a heart that's turned after him. He wants to change that very inner part of us, the core of us, what our heart, the love of our heart. He wants to change it. He wants us to have that place for him alone and after him and towards heaven. So we already talked about Job this morning, and we know the story of Job. But in Job, it talks about, he said how he was serving the Lord, he was caring for blind, for widows, the lame, the downcast. Job was doing these things. He was caring for the people around him. And then we see one day how all his things, his possessions, were taken away, all in that one day. And clearly, Job's treasure was not in his possession. When that had happened, it says in Job 1, verse 20, that Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. And that just really blesses my heart to see how Job had all these things, but his treasure, his heart was not set upon them. He had his heart, his God was who he was worshiping. He was not worshiping his things. Or he would have never come out this way. What allowed Job to come out this way was because his heart was set on God and not on his possessions. We also have the story of the rich fool in Luke 12. And this man, his heart was set on his riches. And he had forgotten that his life was in God's hands. And Jesus told this story when one from the crowd in Luke chapter 12, verse 13 says, "One from the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.' But he said to him, 'Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?' And he said to them, 'Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses.' Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, 'The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?" So he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, "Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be with which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Then he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect." So here we see this man, this rich man. He had many blessings. God blessed the crop. And what did he do? He said, "What should I do with all these things?" Seems he never considered giving them away, did he? Because why? Because his focus was all on what he could get. And so when he has extra, it can't fit in the barns, he says, "Well, we got to pull these barns down and put bigger ones up." And it would have been much easier to give it away. But his focus, we can see, was on himself and his kingdom. He was trying to build an earthly kingdom. And that's why he didn't see the other option. And he also forgot that his life was in God's hands. And God said that his life is coming to an end. And then, these are all the things, all the treasures that you laid up. Whose are they going to be? The next part where Jesus talked about our food and our clothing, and you know, he says, you know, don't be anxious about this. Don't worry about it. Like, you know, how much should we worry about it? You know, do we worry too much about these things? I think he said here that we're to remember that he is capable, that he has everything he needs to take care of the birds, and he says, you are so much better than they. And so sometimes we might worry too much, and he wants us to trust in him. And he said, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added to you. Yeah, there are times when I've seen where people have put God first. They were willing to sacrifice, maybe to serve someone else, to give something up that they could have done, you know, in order to serve someone. And God knows that. And he ends up supplying them with much more in the end than if they would have, you know, been seeking after their own gain. We know the story of that young man that Jesus met, where he said, you know, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, follow the commandments. And he said, I did all these things from my youth up. He said, I've been doing them. But then Jesus says, sell what you have and give to the poor. And it says the man went away sorrowful. And I believe Jesus knew that he was loving his money. His money was more to him, worth more to him than God. And let's just look into our hearts. I think this is something as plain people, we have good work ethic. We have learned to work. We've learned to usually that's not the problem. We know how to can and store things up, prepare. We're good at that. But are we good at this thing of, I think we fail in this thing of collecting too many things, or like just going much more beyond what we really, really need. And one thing that bothers me is that it seems like in certain areas it's probably different, but here we live in a place where there's just so much, like plenty of everything, it seems like. And I just wonder, I see, for one example, houses that God's people build. Should we have the fanciest houses around? I don't think so. To me, that bothers me. like, just to see, I think, yeah, we should have, I think we should have things neat and in order and clean and take care of what we have. I'm not saying that, but it just seems like God's people, when Jesus is telling us here that his kingdom, you know, his people are not to have their treasure here. And we're living next door to a man who has his treasure here. Should our lives not look different? Because our goals are different. And I think we need to really think about that. Because when we have plenty, when we live in a place of plenty, in a land of plenty, it's very easy to buy it because we can, not because we need it. If we have the money to buy it, we buy it, you know, too many times. Rather than saying, you know, a different way would be to ask God to help us to have a kingdom-focused way of spending our money, of buying our things. And I think we need to be careful. Because when we look around and see how most of the world lives, you know, we are the rich people in the world. And we need to be, so that makes us responsible to use these things in a careful way. I appreciated, I've seen men who have been able to sell what they had to move maybe for a church outreach, you know, to help a church work. And they were able to sell what they have and move to another place. You know, how easy, you know, how easy can I do that? Is that something I could do? Would I be willing to do that? Would I be willing to, if God needs me somewhere else to further his work, would I be willing to sell my things and move? Or am I more concerned about an earthly kingdom, something I'm trying to build here? Where our treasure is, there will our heart be. In 1 John, he told us not to love the things of the world, because all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. And I also like the prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17, how Jesus prayed for us, and he asked not that God would take us out of the world, but that he would keep us in the world. And we need that. We need to ask God to keep us in the world, to keep us in obedience to him. John 17, verse 13, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, this is Jesus praying, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So Jesus prayed for us here today that we would be kept, that we could be in the world, but that we would not be of the world. And I just encourage each one of us to ask God, to seek God, to ask God to show us how we're using our possessions, how we're using the things that God has given to us. Are we using it for the kingdom of God? Or are we getting off track and trying to build some kind of kingdom here in this world? So let's God bless you. Let's serve the Lord and remember that He's the giver of everything we have.